38.
This is the problem. Though I believed in Alendi at first, I later became suspicious. It seemed that he fit the signs, true. But, well, how can I explain this? Could it be that he fit them too well?
How can he possibly look so confident when I feel so nervous, Vin thought, standing beside Elend as the assembly hall began to fill. They had arrived early. This time, Elend said he wanted to appear in control by being the one who greeted each assemblyman as he arrived. Today, the vote for king would occur. Vin and Elend stood on the stage, nodding to the assemblymen as they entered through the room's side door. On the floor of the room, the benches were already growing crowded. The first few rows, as always, were seated with guards.
"You look beautiful today," Ellen said, looking at Vin. Vin shrugged. She had worn her white gown, a flowing garment with a few diaphanous layers on the top. Like the others, it was designed for mobility, and it matched Ellen's new outfits, especially with the dark embroidery on the sleeves. Her jewelry was gone, but she did have a few white wooden barrettes for her hair.
"It's odd," she said, "how quickly wearing these gowns became natural for me again."
"I'm glad you made the switch," Elend said. "The trousers and shirt are you, but this is you too. The part of you I remember from the balls, when we barely knew each other."
Vin smiled wistfully, looking up at him, the gathering crowd growing a bit more distant.
"You never did dance with me."
"I'm sorry," he said, holding her arm with a light touch. "We haven't had much time for each other lately, have we?"
Vin shook her head.
"I'll fix that," Elend said. "Once this confusion is all through, once the throne is secure, we can get back to us."
Vin nodded, then turned sharply as she noticed movement behind her, an assemblyman walking across the stage.
"You're jumpy," Elend said, frowning slightly. "Even more than usual. What am I missing?"
Vin shook her head.
"I don't know."
Elend greeted the assemblyman, one of the Ska representatives, with a firm handshake. Vin stood at his side, her earlier wistfulness evaporating like mist as her mind returned to the moment.
"What is bothering me?"
The room was packed. Everyone wanted to witness the events of the day. Elend had been forced to post guards at the doors to maintain order. But it wasn't just the number of people that made her edgy. It was a sense of wrongness to the event. People were gathering like carrion feeders to a rotting carcass.
"This isn't right," Vin said, holding Ellen's arm as the assemblyman moved off. "Governments shouldn't change hands based on arguments made from a lectern."
"Just because it hasn't happened that way in the past doesn't mean it shouldn't happen," Ellen said.
Vin shook her head.
"Something is going to go wrong, Ellen. Set will surprise you, and maybe Penrod will too. Men like them won't sit still and let a vote decide their future."
"I know," Elend said, "but they aren't the only ones who can offer up surprises."
Vin looked at him quizzically.
"You're planning something?"
He paused, then glanced at her.
Ham and I came up with something last night. A ploy. I've been trying to find a way to talk to you about it, but there just hasn't been time. We had to move quickly."
Vin frowned, sensing his apprehension. She started to say something, but then stopped, studying his eyes. He seemed a little embarrassed.
"What?"
she asked.
"Well, it kind of involves you and your reputation. I was going to ask permission, but..."
Vin felt a slight chill. Behind them, the last assemblyman took his seat, and Penrod stood up to conduct the meeting. He glanced toward Elend, clearing his throat. Elend cursed quietly.
"Look, I don't have time to explain," he said, "but it's really not a big deal. It might not even get me that many votes. But, well, I had to try. And it doesn't change anything. Between us, I mean."
"What?"
"Lord Venture," Penrod said, "are you ready for this meeting to begin?"
The hall grew quiet. Vin and Elend still stood in the center of the stage, between the lectern and the seats of the assembly members.
She looked at him, torn between a sense of dread, a sense of confusion, and a slight sense of betrayal.
"Why didn't you tell me?" she thought. "How can I be ready if you don't tell me what you're planning? And why are you looking at me like that?"
"I'm sorry," Ellen said, moving over to take his seat. Vin remained standing alone before the audience. Once, so much attention would have terrified her. It still made her uncomfortable. She ducked her head slightly, walking toward the back benches and her empty spot. Ham wasn't there. Vin frowned, turning as Penrod opened the proceedings. There, she thought, finding Ham in the audience, sitting calmly with a group of ska. The group was obviously conversing quietly. But even with Tin, Vin would never be able to pick out their voices in the large crowd. Breeze stood with some of Ham's soldiers at the back of the room. It didn't matter if they knew about Ellen's plan. They were too far away for her to interrogate them. Annoyed, she arranged her skirts, then sat. She hadn't felt so blind since...
Since that night a year ago, she thought. That moment just before we figured out Kelsier's true plan. That moment when I thought everything was collapsing around me.
Perhaps that was a good sign. Had Ellen cooked up some last-minute flash of political brilliance? It didn't really matter that he hadn't shared it with her. She probably wouldn't understand the legal basis for it anyway.
But he always shared his plans with me before.
Penrod continued to drone on, likely maximizing his time in front of the assembly. Set was on the front bench of the audience, surrounded by a good 20 soldiers, sitting with a look of self-satisfaction. As well he should. From the accounts she'd heard, Set stood to take the vote with ease. But what was Ellen planning?
Penrod will vote for himself, Vin thought. So will Ellen. That leaves 22 votes. The merchants are behind Set, and so are the Ska. They're too afraid of that army to vote for anyone else. That only leaves the nobility. Some of them will vote for Penrod. He's the strongest nobleman in the city. Many of the members of the assembly are longtime political allies of his. But even if he takes half of the nobility, which he probably won't, Set will win. Set only needs a two-thirds majority to get the throne.
8 merchants, 8 ska, 16 men on Set's side. He was going to win. What could Ellen possibly do? Penrod finally finished his opening announcements.
But before we vote, he said, I would like to offer time to the candidates to make any final addresses they wish. Lord Set, would you care to go first?
In the audience, Set shook his head.
I've made my offers and my threats, Penrod. You all know you have to vote for me.
Vin frowned. He seemed certain of himself, and yet... She scanned the crowd, eyes falling on Ham. He was talking to Captain Demu, and seated next to them was one of the men who had followed her in the market, a priest of the Survivor. Vin turned, studying the assembly. The Ska representatives looked uncomfortable. She glanced at Ellen, who stood up to take his turn at the front of the lectern. His earlier confidence had returned, and he looked regal in his sharp white uniform. He still wore his crown.
It doesn't change things, he'd said. Between us. I'm sorry.
Something that would use her reputation to gain him votes. Her reputation was Kelsier's reputation, and only the Ska really cared about that. And there was one easy way to gain influence with them.
You joined the Church of the Survivor, didn't you? She whispered.
The reactions of the Ska assemblymen, the logic of the moment, Ellen's words to her before, all of them suddenly made sense. If Ellen joined the church, the Ska assemblymen might be afraid to vote against him. And Ellen didn't need 16 votes to gain the throne. If the assembly deadlocked, he won. With the 8 Ska and his own vote, the others would never be able to oust him.
Very clever, she whispered.
The ploy might not work. It would depend on how much hold the Church of the Survivor had on the Ska assemblymen. Yet even if some Ska voted against Ellen, there was still the nobleman who would probably vote for Penrod. If enough did, Elend would still deadlock the assembly and keep his throne. All it would cost was his integrity.
That's unfair, Vin told herself. If Elend had joined with the Church of the Survivor, he would hold to whatever promises he had made. And if the Church of the Survivor gained official backing, it could become as powerful in Luthadel as the Steel Ministry had once been. And how would that change the way Elend saw her?
This doesn't change anything, he had promised.
She dully heard him begin to speak, and his references to Kelsier now seemed obvious to her. Yet the only thing she could feel was a slight sense of anxiety. It was as Zane had said. She was the knife. A different kind of knife, but still a tool. The means by which Elend would protect the city. She should be furious, or at least sick. Why did her eyes keep darting toward the crowd? Why couldn't she focus on what Elend was saying, on how he was elevating her? Why was she suddenly so on edge? Why were those men subtly moving their way around the edges of the room?
So, Elend said, by the blessing of the Survivor himself, I ask you to vote for me.
He waited quietly.
It was a drastic move. Joining the Church of the Survivor put Elend under the spiritual authority of an external group. But Ham and Damu both had thought it a good idea. Elend had spent the better part of the previous day getting the word out to the Ska citizens about his decision. It felt like a good move. The only thing he worried about was Vin. He glanced at her. She didn't like her place in the Church of the Survivor, and having Elend join it meant that he, technically, accepted her part in the mythology. He tried to catch her eye and smile, but she wasn't watching him. She was looking out into the audience.
Elend frowned. Vin stood up. A man from the audience suddenly shoved aside two soldiers in the front row, then leaped supernaturally far to land up on the dais. The man pulled out a dueling cane.
What? Elend thought in shock.
Fortunately, months spent sparring at Tyndall's command had given him instincts he didn't know he had. As the thug charged, Elend tucked and rolled. He hit the ground, scrambling, and turned to see the beefy man bearing down on him, dueling cane raised. A flurry of white lace and skirts fluttered through the air over Elend. Vin slammed feet first into the thug, throwing him backward as she spun, skirts flaring. The man grunted. Vin landed with a thump directly in front of Elend. The assembly hall echoed with sudden screaming and shouts. Vin kicked the lectern out of the way.
"Stay behind me," she whispered, an obsidian dagger glittering in her right hand.
Elend nodded hesitantly, unbuckling the sword at his waist as he climbed to his feet. The thug wasn't alone. Three small groups of armed men were moving through the room. One attacked the front row, distracting the guards there. Another group was climbing onto the dais. The third group seemed occupied by something in the crowd. Set's soldiers. The thug had regained his feet. He didn't look like he had suffered much from Vin's kick.
Assassins, Elend thought. But who sent them?
The man smiled as he was joined by a group of five friends. Chaos filled the room, assemblymen scattering, their bodyguards rushing to surround them. Yet the fighting in front of the stage kept anyone from escaping in that direction. The assemblymen clogged around the stage's side exit. The attackers, however, didn't seem concerned with them. Only with Elend. Vin remained in her crouch, waiting for the men to attack first, her posture threatening despite the frilly dress. Elend thought he actually heard her growl quietly. The men attacked. Vin snapped forward, swiping at the lead thug with a dagger. His reach was too great, however, and he easily fended her off with a swipe of his staff. There were six men in total. Three who were obviously thugs, leaving the other three likely to be coin shots or lurchers. A strong component of metal controllers. Someone didn't want her ending this fight quickly with coins. They didn't understand that she would never use coins in this situation. Not with Elend standing so close and with so many people in the room. Coins couldn't be deflected safely. If she shot a handful at her enemies, random people would die. She had to kill these men fast. They were already fanning out, surrounding her and Elend. They moved in pairs, one thug and one coin shot in each team.
They would attack from the sides, trying to get past her to Elend. Vin reached behind herself with iron, pulling Ellen's sword from its sheath with a ringing squeal. She caught it by the hilt, throwing it at one of the teams. The coin shot pushed it back at her, and she in turn pushed it to the side, spinning it toward a second pair of allomancers. One of them pushed it back at her again. Vin pulled from behind, whipping Ellen's metal-tipped sheath out of his hands and shooting it through the air by its clasp. Sheath passed sword in the air. This time the enemy coin shots pushed both items out of the way, deflecting them toward the fleeing audience. Men shouted in desperation as they trampled and tried to force their way out of the room. Vin gritted her teeth. She needed a better weapon. She flung a stone dagger at one assassin pair, then jumped toward another, spinning beneath the attacking thug's weapon. The coin shot didn't have any metal on him that she could sense. He was just there to keep her from killing the thug with coins. They probably assumed that Vin would be easy to defeat, as she was deprived of the ability to shoot coins. The thug brought his staff back around, trying to catch her with the end. She caught the weapon, yanking it forward, and jumping up as she pushed against the assembly bleachers behind her. Her feet hit the thug in the chest, and she kicked hard with flared pewter. As he grunted, Vin pulled herself back toward the nails in the bleachers as hard as she could. The thug managed to stay on his feet. He seemed completely surprised, however, to find Vin streaking away from him, holding his staff in her hands. She landed and spun toward Elend. He'd found himself a weapon, a dueling cane, and had the good sense to back himself against a wall. To her right, some of the assemblymen stood in a huddle surrounded by their guards. The room was too full, the exits too small and cramped, for them all to escape. The assemblymen made no moves to help Elend. One of the assassins cried out, pointing as Vin pushed against the bleachers and shot toward them, moving herself in front of Elend. Two thugs raised their weapons as Vin turned in the air, lightly pulling against a door's hinges to spin herself. Her gown fluttered as she landed. "I really have to thank that dressmaker," she thought as she raised the staff. She briefly considered ripping the dress free anyway, but the thugs were upon her too quickly. She blocked both blows at once, then threw herself between the men, flaring pewter, moving faster than even they. One of them cursed, trying to bring his staff around. Vin broke his leg before he could. He dropped with a howl, and Vin leaped onto his back, forcing him to the ground as she swung an overhand blow at the second thug. He blocked, then shoved his weapon against hers to throw her back off his companion. Elend attacked. The king's actions, however, seemed sluggish compared with the movements of men burning pewter. The thug turned almost nonchalantly, smashing Ellen's weapon with an easy blow. Vin cursed as she fell. She hurled her staff at the thug, forcing him to turn away from Elend. He barely ducked out of the way as Vin hit the ground, bounced to her feet, and whipped out a second dagger. She dashed forward before the thug could turn back to Elend. A spray of coins flew toward her. She couldn't push them back, not toward the crowd. She cried out, throwing herself between the coins in Elend, then pushed to the sides, dividing them as best she could, so they sprayed against the wall. Even so, she felt a flash of pain from her shoulder. "Where did he get the coins?" she thought with frustration. However, as she glanced to the side, she saw the coin shot standing beside a cowering assemblyman, who had been forced to give up his coin pouch. Vin gritted her teeth. Her arm still worked. That was all that mattered. She yelled and threw herself at the closest thug. However, the third thug had regained his weapon, the one Vin had thrown, and was now circling with his coin shot to try and get behind Vin. "One at a time," Vin thought. The thug nearest her swung his weapon. She needed to surprise him, so she didn't dodge or block. She simply took his blow in the side, burning duralumin and pewter to resist. Something cracked within her as she was hit, but with duralumin she was strong enough to stay up. Wood shattered, and she continued forward, slamming her dagger into the thug's neck. He dropped, revealing a surprised coin shot behind him. Vin's pewter evaporated with the duralumin, and pain blossomed like a sunrise in her side. Even so, she yanked her dagger free as the thug fell, still moving quickly enough to drop the coin shot with a dagger in the chest. Then she stumbled, gasping quietly, holding her side as two men died at her feet. "One thug left," she thought desperately, "and two coin shots. Elend needs me." To the side, she saw one of the coin shots fire a spray of stolen coins at Elend. She turned, counting on the blue lines from her steel to warn her if the coin shots tried shooting anything else at Elend, and ripped her backup vial of metal from her sleeve, where it had been tied tightly to keep it from being pulled away. However, even as she yanked the stopper open, the vial lurched from her now undexterous hand. The second coin shot grinned as he pushed the vial away, tipping it and spraying its contents across the floor. Vin growled, but her mind was growing fuzzy. She needed pewter. Without it, the large coin wound in her shoulder, its blood turning her lacy sleeve red, and the crushing pain in her side were too much. She almost couldn't think. A staff swung toward her head. She jerked to the side, rolling. However, she no longer had the grace or speed of pewter. A normal man's blow she could have dodged, but the attack of an allomancer was another thing.
I shouldn't have burned Duralumin, she thought.
It had been a gamble, letting her kill two assassins, but it had left her too exposed. The staff descended toward her. Something large slammed into the thug, bearing him to the ground in a growling flurry of claws. Vin came out of her dodge as the thug punched Orsure in the head, cracking his skull. Yet the thug was bleeding and cursing, and his staff had rolled free. Vin snatched it up, scrambling to her feet and gritting her teeth as she drove the butt of the staff down into the man's face. He took the blow with a curse, swiping her feet out from under her with a kick. She fell beside Orsure. The wolfhound, oddly, was smiling. There was a wound in his shoulder. No, not a wound. An opening in the flesh, and a vial of metal hidden inside. Vin snatched it, rolling, keeping it hidden as the thug regained his feet. She downed the liquid and the flakes of metal it contained. On the floor before her, she could see the shadow of the thug raising his weapon in a mighty overhand blow. Pewter flared to life inside of her, and her wounds became mere annoying buzzes. She jerked to the side as the blow fell, hitting the floor, throwing up bits of wood. Vin flipped to her feet, slamming her fist into the arm of the surprised opponent. It wasn't enough to break the bones, but it obviously hurt. The thug, now missing two teeth, grunted in pain. To the side, Vin saw Orsure on his feet, his dog's jaw hanging unnaturally. He nodded to her. The thug would think him dead from the cracked skull. More coins flew at Elend. She pushed them away without even looking. In front of her, Orsure struck the thug from behind, making him spin in surprise, just as Vin attacked. The thug's staff passed within a finger's width of her head as it smashed into Orsure's back, but her own hand took the man in the face. She didn't punch, however. That wouldn't do much against a thug. She had one finger out, and she had incredible aim. The thug's eye popped as she rammed her finger into the socket. She hopped back as he cried out, raising a hand to his face. She smashed her fists into his chest, throwing him to the ground, then jumped over Orsure's crumpled form and grabbed her dagger off the ground. The thug died, clutching his face in agony, her dagger in his chest. Vin spun, searching desperately for Elend. He'd taken one of the fallen thug's weapons and was fending off the two remaining coin shots, who had apparently grown frustrated by her pushing away all of their coin attacks. Instead, they had pulled out dueling canes to attack him directly. Ellen's training had apparently been enough to keep him alive, but only because his opponents had to keep an eye on Vin to make certain she didn't try using coins herself. Vin kicked up the staff of the man she'd just killed, catching it. A coin shot cried out as she growled and dashed toward them, spinning her weapon. One had the presence of mind to push off the bleachers and launch himself away. Vin's weapon still caught him in midair, throwing him to the side. The next swing took down his companion, who had tried to dash away. Elend stood breathing heavily, his costume disheveled.
He did better than I thought he would, Vin admitted, flexing, trying to judge the damage to her side.
She needed to get a bandage on that shoulder. The coin hadn't hit bone, but the bleeding would...
Vin!
Elend cried out. Something very strong suddenly grabbed her from behind. Vin choked as she was jerked backward and thrown to the ground. The first thug. She'd broken his leg, then forgotten... He got his hands around her neck, squeezing as he knelt above her, his legs pressing against her chest, his face wild with rage. His eyes bulged, adrenaline mixing with pewter. Vin gasped for breath. She was taken back to years before, to beatings performed by men looming above her. Cayman and Reen and a dozen others.
No,
she thought, flaring her pewter, struggling. He had her pinned, however, and he was much larger than she was. Much stronger. Ellen slammed his staff against the man's back, but the thug barely even flinched. Vin couldn't breathe. She felt her throat being crushed. She tried to pry the thug's hands apart, but it was as Ham had always said. Her small size was a great advantage to her in most situations, but when it came down to brute strength, she was no match for a man of bulk and muscle. She tried pulling herself to the side, but the man's grip was too strong, her weight too small compared with his. She struggled in vain. She had duralumin still. Burning it would only make other metals vanish, not the duralumin itself. But last time that had nearly gotten her killed. If she didn't take the thug down quickly, she'd be left without pewter once again. Ellen pounded, yelling for help, but his voice sounded distant. The thug pressed his face almost up against Vin's, and she could see his fury. At that moment, incredibly, a thought occurred to her.
Where have I seen this man before?
Her vision darkened. However, as the thug constricted his grip, he leaned closer, closer, closer. She didn't have a choice. Vin burned duralumin and flared her pewter. She flung her opponent's hands aside and smashed her head upward into his face. The man's head exploded as easily as the eyeball had earlier. Vin gasped for breath and pressed the headless corpse off of her. Ellen stumbled back, his suit and face sprayed red. Vin stumbled to her feet. Her vision swam as her pewter dissipated. But even through that she could see an emotion on Ellen's face, stark as the blood in his brilliant white uniform. Horror.
No, she thought, her mind fading. Please, Ellen, not that.
She fell forward, unable to maintain consciousness. Ellen sat in his ruined suit, hands against forehead, the wreckage of the assembly hall hauntingly empty around him.
She'll live, Ham said. She actually isn't hurt that badly, or, well, not that badly for Vin. She just needs plenty of pewter and some of Sazed's care. He says the ribs aren't even broken, just cracked.
Ellen nodded absently. Some soldiers were clearing away the corpses, among them the six men that Vin had killed, including the one at the end. Ellen squeezed his eyes shut.
What? Ham asked.
Ellen opened his eyes, forming his hand into a fist to keep it from shaking.
I know you've seen a lot of battles, Ham, he said, but I'm not used to them. I'm not used to...
He turned away as the soldiers dragged away the headless body. Ham watched the corpse go.
I've only actually seen her fight once before, you know, Ellen said quietly. In the palace a year ago. She only threw a few men against the walls. It was nothing like this.
Ham took a seat beside Ellen on the benches.
She's mistborn, El. What did you expect? A single thug can easily take down 10 men, dozens if he has a coin shot to support him. A mistborn? Well, they're like an army in one person.
Ellen nodded.
I know, Ham. I know she killed the Lord Ruler. She's even told me how she faced several steel inquisitors. But I've just never seen...
He closed his eyes again. The image of Vin stumbling toward him at the end, her beautiful white ball gown covered in the gore of a man she'd just killed with her forehead.
She did it to protect me, he thought. But that doesn't make it any less disturbing. Maybe that even makes it a little more disturbing.
He forced his eyes open. He couldn't afford to be distracted. He had to be strong. He was king.
You think Straff sent them? Ellen asked.
Ham nodded.
Who else? They targeted you and Set. I guess your threat to kill Straff wasn't as binding as we assumed.
How is Set?
He barely escaped alive. As it is, they slaughtered half of his soldiers. In the fray, Damu and I couldn't even see what was happening up on the stage with you and Vin.
Ellen nodded. By the time Ham had arrived, Vin had already dealt with the assassins. It had taken her only a few minutes to wipe out all 6 of them. Ham was silent for a moment. Finally, he turned to Ellen.
I'll admit, El, he said quietly. I'm impressed. I didn't see the fight, but I saw the aftermath. It's one thing to fight 6 Allomancers, but it's another to do that while trying to protect a regular person and to keep any bystanders from harm. And that last man...
Do you remember when she saved Breeze? Ellen asked. It was so far away, but I swear I saw her throw horses into the air with her allomancy. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Ham shook his head. Elland sat quietly for a moment.
I think we need to do some planning. What with today's events, we can't...
Ham looked up as Elland trailed off.
What?
Messenger, Elland said, nodding toward the doorway. Sure enough, the man presented himself to the soldiers, then was escorted up to the stage. Elland stood, walking over to meet the short man, who wore Penrod's heraldry on his coat.
My lord,
the man said, bowing.
I've been sent to inform you that the voting will proceed at Lord Penrod's mansion.
The voting? Ham asked. What nonsense is this? His Majesty was nearly killed today.
I'm sorry, my lord, the aide said. I was simply told to deliver the message.
Elland sighed. He'd hoped that, in the confusion, Penrod wouldn't remember the deadline.
If they don't choose a new leader today, Ham, then I get to retain the crown. They've already wasted their grace period.
Ham sighed.
And if there are more assassins?
He asked quietly.
Vin will be laid up for a few days at least.
I can't rely on her to protect me all the time, Elland said. Let's go.
I vote for myself, Lord Penrod said.
Not unexpected, Elland thought. He sat in Penrod's comfortable lounge, accompanied by a group of shaken assemblymen, none of whom, thankfully, had been hurt in the attack. Several held drinks, and there was a veritable army of guards waiting around the perimeter, eyeing each other warily. The crowded room also held Nurdin and three other scribes, who were there to witness the voting, according to the law.
I vote for Lord Penrod as well, said Lord Ducaler.
Also not unexpected, Elland thought. I wonder how much that cost Penrod. Mansion Penrod was not a keep, but it was lavishly decorated. The plushness of Elland's chair was welcome as a relief from the tensions of the day. Yet Elland feared that it was too soothing. It would be very easy to drift off.
I vote for Set, said Lord Hebron.
Ellen perked up. It was the second for Set, which put him behind Penrod by three. Everyone turned to Elland.
I vote for myself, he said, trying to project a firmness that was hard to maintain after everything that had happened.
The merchants were next. Elland settled back, prepared for the expected run of votes for Set.
I vote for Penrod, Phylan said.
Elland sat upright, alert.
What?
The next merchant voted for Penrod as well, as did the next and the next. Elland sat stunned, listening. What did I miss, he thought. He glanced at Ham, who shrugged in confusion. Phylan glanced at Elland, smiling pleasantly. Elland couldn't tell if there was bitterness or satisfaction in that look, however. They switched allegiances? That quickly? Phylan had been the one to sneak Set into the city in the first place. Elland looked down the row of merchants, trying with little success to gauge their reactions. Set himself wasn't in the meeting. He had retreated to keep Hasting to nurse his wound.
I vote for Lord Venture,
said Hawes, foremost of the Ska faction. This also managed to get a stir out of the room. Hawes met Ellen's eye and nodded. He was a firm believer in the Church of the Survivor, and while the different preachers of the religion were beginning to disagree on how to organize their followers, they all agreed that a believer on the throne would be better for them than handing the city over to Set.
There will be a price to pay for this allegiance, Elland thought, as the Ska voted.
They knew Ellen's reputation for honesty, and he would not betray their trust. He had told them he would become an open member of their sect. He hadn't promised them belief, but he had promised them devotion. He still wasn't certain what he had given away, but both of them knew they would need each other.
I vote for Penrod,
said Jaston, a canal worker.
And so do I,
said Thertz, his brother. Elland gritted his teeth. He'd known they would be trouble. They never had liked the Church of the Survivor. But four of the Ska had already given him their votes. With only two remaining, he had a very good shot at a deadlock.
I vote for Venture,
said the next man.
I do too,
said the final Ska. Elland gave the man, Vet, a smile of appreciation. That left 15 votes for Penrod, 2 for Set, and 7 for Elland. Deadlock. Elland reclined slightly, head resting against the chair's pillowed back, sighing softly.
You did your job, Vin, he thought. I did mine. Now we just need to keep this country in one piece.
A voice asked.
Am I allowed to change my vote?
Elland opened his eyes. It was Lord Hebron, one of the votes for Set.
I mean, it's obvious now that Set isn't going to win, Hebron said, flushing slightly.
The young man was a distant cousin of the Alarial family, which was probably how he'd gotten his seat. Names still meant power in Luthadel.
I'm not sure if you can change or not, Lord Penrod said. Well, I'd rather my vote meant something, Hebron said. There are only 2 votes for Set, after all.
The room fell silent. One by one, the members of the assembly turned to Elland. Nordin the scribe met Elland's eyes. There was a clause allowing for men to change their votes, assuming that the Chancellor hadn't officially closed the voting, which, indeed, he hadn't. The clause was rather oblique. Nordin was probably the only other one in the room who knew the law well enough to interpret it. He nodded slightly, still meeting Elland's eyes. He would hold his tongue. Elland sat still in a room full of men who trusted him, even as they rejected him. He could do as Nordin did. He could say nothing, or could say that he didn't know.
Yes, Elland said softly. The law allows for you to change your vote, Lord Hebron. You may only do so once, and must do so before the winner is declared. Everyone else has the same opportunity.
Then I vote for Lord Penrod, Hebron said. As do I, said Lord Hugh, the other who had voted for Set.
Elland closed his eyes.
Are there any other alterations?
Lord Penrod asked. No one spoke.
Then, Penrod said, I see 17 votes for myself, 7 votes for Lord Venture. I officially close the voting and humbly accept your appointment as king. I shall serve as best I can in this capacity.
Elland stood, then slowly removed his crown. Here, he said, setting it on the mantel. You'll need this. He nodded to Ham, then left without looking back at the men who had discarded him. The end of part 3.